praise the Lord. The title of the message that I have today is this, Desperate Crisis. And somebody might say, what crisis? Well, let me give you the list, a partial list anyway. Rising gas prices, rising oil prices, rising food prices, rising electric costs, talks and acts of war worldwide, rapid law changing, drug dependencies, record earthquakes and record tornadoes, threatening hurricanes, floods, pestilences, famines, all on the increase, etc. These are just a few of the things that we're seeing that reveal the signs of the times. Times that reveal that we are in a desperate crisis. Times that show us that God's word concerning the last days are upon us. I'm going to turn now to Joel chapter 3, verse 9 and following. It says this, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. You know, it's amazing about God's prophetic word because it can take on many different types of understanding, many different types of meanings. The Lord spoke to me and said, we're to be strong in Christ, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. God wants His people to rise up to be an army, but we're to fight with weapons that are spiritual and not carnal. And then He goes on to say, assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. We know from the word that he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. And in these last days, we are seeing people take up the sword in such a way that they're going to end up dying by that same sword. Sad to say. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. And believe me, there's days that are coming that the Bible talks about in Revelation 16:16 about the war of Armageddon, the war of Megiddo, the war when the armies of the nations shall all be gathered together. And God has a plan there. He goes on to say in verse 13 of Joel 3, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Oh, that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But there's two types of harvests that are going to take place in the last day. The first harvest is God's harvest, His people, His remnant. Glory to God, that's us. But there's another harvest that is going to be trampled upon and destroyed. That's the other harvest. That's the harvest of the heathen. And God has already made up His mind that He's going to do this, and you'll see that as we go on. He says, come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats are overflowed, for their wickedness is great. See, God has prepared a day of judgment for the wicked, and we are rapidly closing on that day. Rapidly. And He goes on to say in verse 14, which is one of the keys to this whole message, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. We can look at this in two ways. But let me tell you the main way that God is saying here. This is God's decision. God has decided that He is going to bring forth the wicked together and He's going to destroy them for their wickedness, for their acts of wickedness, for their life of wickedness. This valley of decision is God's decision. When I looked this up, I could not believe it. In the Hebrew, that it had to do more particularly with God's decision. Because it says, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. But I want to say to you today that we're in a desperate crisis. And you, the hearer today, if you'll hear, you must make a decision. In fact, our decision is every day. to follow Christ, those of us who made that decision. But God is allowing a crisis to come upon the land to press the people to make a decision. Whose God will they follow? Will it be God who created the heaven and earth, or will it be Baal representing the devil? The decisions that we make in these last days determine whether we receive God's judgment or God's justice. God's justice and God's mercy comes in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. But God's judgment, God is going to execute that Himself, also through His Son, Jesus Christ. And one more verse, because this has all to do with what the Scripture says in the book of Revelation that will happen in the last days, and we're rapidly closing in on those last days. In the time of God's wrath, it says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. There's going to come a time of great darkness, great gloominess, great destruction. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day He will judge. And I tell you what, I don't want to be under that judgment. I want to be above that judgment, where the justice and the mercy and the love of God says, you don't have to go through that. Repentance of sin is the main decision, because God is a righteous God. It's interesting, I found there's two scriptures, but they're both referring to the same thing in regards to repentance of sin. Because so many people will say today, I have repented. I have said, God, forgive me. Well, let's hear what John the Baptist says about this in Matthew 3:7-8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. We have a lot of people who says, oh, I'm sorry. But on the very same day or the next day, they go right out and do the things that displease God.
That's right.
They spit in God's face. God help them. They come to escape the judgment. They recognize there is a judgment. They see that God is doing things on the earth, but they don't have any fruit. And that's sad. Rather than conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, they try to control the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they will come under the judgment. Repentance requires a change of heart. This change will invite the Spirit of God to enable us to walk in that change. We see the desperate crisis at hand, and we seek God, willing to walk in obedience to His voice. But those who are disobedient, their reward will be a rebuke. Now here's God's simple commandment to us. As I sought the Lord and what He would have said today, step or come out. Then step or come in. And actually, He showed me today there's another step. And then step up. Well, let's find out what all we're talking about here. Consider Abraham's nephew Lot. He was asked to step out. You know the story in Genesis 19:12, and if you don't, I will read it to you. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? God had come to Lot. His angels had come to Lot to bring Lot out from where he was. The men said, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. What place we're talking about? Of course, the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were so corrupt, so anti-God. And he says, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. In other words, it's become great. That's what waxen means, become great. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out, he spoke to his sons-in-laws. Boy, you ever try to do that today? Do you try to speak to your family about the coming judgment? You ever find that many of them don't want to hear you?
Right.
Your brothers, your sisters, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, they think you're nuts when you tell them that God's about to judge. Well, that's the way they treated their father-in-law, Lot. He spoke to his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord is going to destroy the city. but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They were like, ah, ha, 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 Lot, you're nuts. Well, Lot wasn't nuts. And people are going to find out in these last days the Christian isn't nuts. When the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot and said, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. In other words, outside the city. They were to step out. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. That's a very important commandment when we're coming out of the world and the things of this world. Look not behind thee. We know the story, of course, about Lot's wife. You know, although I'm not going to include it, you know, in the readings, but it's in the Word that she looked back and she became as a pillar of salt. It is a warning to us today that when we come out, not to look back. Escape for your life. Is what he said. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. This is the step in commandment. He said, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. You know, many of God's people today are polluted in the cities. Now, that in itself is a message. There's a lot of corruption in the cities today.
Amen.
Much corruption takes place in the cities.
Please excuse me, Pastor Ralston, but I really feel in the Spirit to insert this prophetic word I spoke some time ago.
For yea, I say unto ye once more, the cities are not safe for my people. The cities are not safe for those who are mine. Run from them. Leave them. For corruption abounds there. And the enemy has taken hold there like no place else. Leave the cities, saith the Lord.
That prophetic word, though spoken a while back, is as valid today as it was then. As you are hearing, as you listen to Pastor Ralston's message, now back to that message.
Do you remember that it's the mountains where Abraham ended up? And it's in the mountains no destruction took place. Well, you can read the story for yourself of what Lot did. I can tell you he asked if he could avoid the mountains, but all I want you to know is you have to step out and then you need to come in. God always has a safe place for the person who will trust and believe in Jesus Christ. But you must heed his commandment and go where he tells you to go. It may not always be the place you want to go, but I tell you it is a safe place. Now, consider Noah's command. Genesis chapter 6, 11 and following. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That sounds like a description of today. Violence fills the land throughout the whole world. We know that God judged the world as it was known in Noah's day with a flood. God has promised that he will judge again by fire. In the last days, 2 Peter 3:10, and many other verses that you can find throughout the Scripture. I'm not bringing them forth today, but God is going to judge by fire. We know that the rainbow is in the sky as proof to us that God will not destroy the whole earth by flood again. Yes, there's been many floods, and many people's lives have been destroyed by those floods, but they're not worldwide destruction.
That's right.
In the last days, there's going to be a worldwide destruction of fire. Well, God has said it. It's going to happen. Will you listen today? Or will you be like the corrupt people in Noah's day? God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You know what one of the identifying factors concerning the people of Noah's day? Is they followed after their own imagination.
Right.
Instead of following after the mind of God. And what was right, they followed after their own imagination. And when you follow after your own imagination, you get in trouble. And of course, we know the key figure of the one who followed after his own imagination was Lucifer himself. He said to himself one day, I want to be above God. Wow, I tell you what, he got kicked out of that place that he had with God in a quick hurry. A quick occurring. And so will those on the earth in the last days, if they decide they want to continue to follow after their own imaginations. God has a place called the lake of fire, and it's an eternal place of hell. Well, I don't want to go there. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. In other words, he wanted Noah to step out of this corruption. Step out is always an act of faith. It's always an act of faith. A lot of people say to me, and I've heard one person say it, I remember years ago, if I take a step out, I feel I will fall over a cliff. But you know, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you won't fall over a cliff, because God will hold you up. A quick story, there was a time when Peter was on a boat, and he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, if that is you, bid me to come. He took a real step of faith and walked on the water, the sea, and walked right towards Jesus. The reason why he began to sink is because he took his eyes off Jesus. Well, every Christian knows that we must keep our eyes on him. Scripture tells us to do that, to keep our eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12. Amen. And we'll continue to walk in a safe place. Amen. So he stepped out, and he told him to make rooms. Thou shalt make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. He told him what to do, and it would become his safety. When we step in to what God has us to do, we step into connection, first of all, with the Lord. We connect ourselves with God. Not only is there connection, but another word, collection. Whenever we step in with God, there's always collection. People who know the Scriptures understand. The Lord says, go out and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all that I have commanded you. There's a time of collection when we step in with God. Glory to God. We know that Noah did some collecting. Amen? And anyway, he begins to tell him. He says, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and under everything that is in the earth shall die. People will say, oh, how can a loving God who made such a beautiful earth step out and destroy it? Hey, God made it, and he decides what he's going to do with that which he has made. It's his decision. Just like anybody who makes something, it's up to them whether they want to display it or if they want to put it in a closet. Amen? If they want to give it away. In the same way, God the Creator has the right to do what he desires to do. And he made up his mind and up his heart that he was going to destroy everything. But he had a plan of preservation. Amen. He says, but with thee I will establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring to the ark to keep them alive. They shall be male and female, fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. See, there's some more collection, collecting of food. And it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. He stepped out, and he stepped in. And what do we know? He also stepped up. Because as the floods came, so the ark just floated to the surface and went up and was above the destruction. And that was God's plan for Lot also. You know, there was a time that Jesus stepped out as he was God. He was God, but he stepped out. He stepped out as God, but he stepped into this world as man, but he stepped up as Savior. And God has a plan for us. We're told in the New Testament, under the new covenant that God has made with his people, to step out. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what he's telling his believers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He says to the believer, you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. What is God saying? If you were a thief amongst thieves, come out from them. If you were in drugs, as they were, and you got saved, come out from among them. And you say, well, I'm saved. I want to save them. You'll save them by coming out. Because if they're really interested, they will come out. They will follow you. If they're not interested, don't look back. Keep going forward and follow the Lord. Amen. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then he has a come in commandment. It's part of the prayer that we say. Matthew 6:10. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What are we saying? God's kingdom come. We want to come into the kingdom. We invite that kingdom into us.
Amen.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then there's a come up commandment. This is just one of them, but God is actually speaking to the two witnesses in the last days. But how many know that we who believe in the Lord will also come up? You know, God's going to step out in that cloud of glory that he went up in to begin with, and he's going to call his saints home. Well, I'm going to use Revelation 11:12 for this. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. We can never come up unless we have come out and come in. And then we can come up. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Watching, but unable to do nothing. Here's your opportunity today, amidst the desperate crisis, to come into the safe place. Your opportunity to come out of the unsafe place. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door. What is he saying? I stand at your door and knock, the door of your heart. It says, if any man hear my voice and open up that door, I will come into them. Ah, yes. And will sup with him and he with me. All glory to God. Hearing God's voice is the key to coming into God's kingdom. God is saying, come out of the presence of the world and into the presence of my kingdom. Close your eyes to the things of this world and open them up to the things of my kingdom. Turn away from the pleasures of this world and turn to the pleasures of my kingdom. A desperate choice in a desperate crisis. Jesus holds out his extended hand of mercy for those who are willing to take it. Will you take the hand of the man who stilled the waters and calmed the sea, healed the lame, cured the sick, and set the captives free, the one who rose from the dead? You'll be glad if you do. I repeat, out of Joel 3:14, multitudes to multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And I finish with this out of Romans 10:8 and following. What saith it? The word of God. What are you saying? It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call unto him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hallelujah. Wasn't that an awesome message by Pastor Ralston? If you would like to support this kind of message being broadcast all over the world in many venues, radio, shortwave radio, internet, podcasting, please send your love gift to Signs, spelled S-I-G-N-S, P-O, Box 122, Lyle, spelled L-I-S-L-E, New York, abbreviated N-Y, 13797, USA. Maranatha, our friends.